And so let's check out this text in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, "Now it happened as they went, as he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" And tonight I want to talk to you about balance. Is your life balanced or out of balance? Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for our mothers, and we thank you for just how gracious and loving and caring they are. Lord, we just ask tonight, Lord, that you would speak through your word, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come in this place and just minister to every heart and help us to hear from you, Jesus. Pray your Holy Spirit would draw us to you. And if there's anyone that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior tonight, that tonight they would give their lives to you, recognizing that you're the only way, the truth, and the life that leads to heaven. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see Jesus here, and he's coming into this village. And the village is Bethany. We know that because Mary is from Bethany, and Martha's from Bethany. And so Jesus is coming into this village, and we see Martha, she sees Jesus, and what does she do there in verse 38? She says she welcomed him to her house. So she welcomes him in. And Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus were some of Jesus' closest friends. And we find that in John chapter 11, verse 5. It says Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their brother, right? And he spent time with them. And it's been said that they were loaded, that they had lots of money, or they had a big house, because they invited Jesus over, and he at least had 12 disciples with him, right? So you're talking, you know, those 12, 13, plus three more, you got 16 people, or up to 83 people that could have been following Jesus at this time. Come on over, we want to make a meal for you. But the point is that Martha was a very hospitable person. She was very, had this gift of hospitality. And she used what she had to support the ministry of the Lord. And so I wonder, do you use what you have, your gifts, your times, your talent, your money, do you use that to support the ministry of Jesus Christ? And she really did that. Martha loved Jesus, and she wanted to help him and support him so that he could minister to all the more people. And they used their resources, and they opened up their home. And several times you see Jesus going back to this house. And so do we use that? Do we use what we have to further the kingdom of God? I think it's so awesome here at this church when we announce, like, we're going to a winter camp or a summer camp or a men's retreat. Hey, if you want to donate or sponsor someone, that would be great. And we just see this really awesome response of people coming out, and a lot of them just widows, and going, hey, God's blessed me. I just want to give. I want to be able to send someone to camp or to this retreat or whatever. And it's such a blessing for us to tell those people, hey, you can go. Someone sponsored you, and someone loves you enough and loves Jesus enough to use what they have to further the kingdom of God. Never forget that everything that we own is on loan from God. Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights who is from above. Everything that is good, your breath, you're like, well, no, I work really hard, and I'm really smart, and I've gone to school. Well, who gave you the breath in your lungs to even live to do that? Who makes your heart beat? Who makes your brain be able to comprehend and think things? Who gave you the gifts and the abilities that you have? It's all come from God. It's all come from Jesus Christ. And so we should use it to store up eternal treasures and further his kingdom. But look at what happens in verse 39. It says, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So here's Mary, right? Paint this picture. Jesus is in their living room, and Jesus is teaching in their living room. Can you imagine if Jesus came to your house and was teaching in your living room? But not only is he teaching his disciples and men, he's allowing women to sit at his feet, which was a huge honor. Because Jesus is a rabbi, he's a teacher of the law, and rabbis did not allow women to be taught or to learn anything. Women, who are they? We don't even have anything to do with that. We teach the men and only the men. So Mary, for her, this is a huge privilege. And Jesus saw women differently than all these other rabbis. Jesus, he wanted to equip women for ministry, and he loved them and wanted to, them to go out and use their gifts and their abilities for the kingdom of God. And he did this with Mary and Martha. But just because, you know, he equipped them doesn't mean that there isn't, you know, some offices in the church. Like a woman is not allowed to have the office of authority or be a woman pastor or have that title or be the authority over men, right? But that doesn't mean women can't do many other things and teach ladies and children and use their gifts. And I'm so thankful for a woman named Kathy Martinez here who has the gift of cooking, and it is awesome every week. I'm telling you, like, wow, like she brings in all this food, and I'm like, this, I don't even have to pack any lunch anymore. I'm like, ooh, this is good. What do we got here? She's using her gift to bless the kingdom of God. And Mary was learning of that. But listen, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and this is Mary of Bethany. And we see this two other times in the Gospels that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. So three times that we hear about Mary of Bethany, she's always sitting at Jesus' feet, once in John 11:32. Where it says that her brother Lazarus has died and she is at Jesus' feet weeping. And then once in John chapter 12, where she breaks this costly jar of spikenard and she pours it all over Jesus' feet and anoints his head, and it's a year's worth of wages. And the disciples were like, why did you just waste that on Jesus' feet? They didn't even get what was going on. She was preparing him for his burial. Women had a lot more insight to what the guys had going on. They probably used both sides of their brain, and guys only used one. Got an amen right there. That was good. And Mary was a worshiper. She was humble. She was always at Jesus' feet, and she was a learner. She wanted to learn from Jesus and hear him. And she put off this amazing fragrance. Every time she was at Jesus' feet, there was all these different fragrances. There was the fragrance of food right here, as we see in Luke chapter 10. There was also the fragrance of death, and Mary was at Jesus' feet. There was also the fragrance of that perfume when Mary was at Jesus' feet. But every time Mary is at Jesus' feet, and I would ask you, man, what kind of fragrance do you put off with your life? She was a worshiper. She loved Jesus. And she put off this fragrance of love and just wanting to serve Jesus. What kind of fragrance do you have in your life when you're at your job site, when you're at your job or your work, and you have a fragrance of life and speaking life and being light to the world, or speaking death and be like, I want to kill this person right now and I will do it, all right, when they go in that back room for a break. I'm going to pour something in their drink. And so we can do that. Or in our homes, we can have a fragrance of life, or we can have this fragrance of death. What are you a fragrance of? But notice, it's not that Martha didn't want to be at the feet of Jesus. Martha wanted to be at the feet of Jesus. Martha wanted to learn just like Mary, and she loved Jesus just as much as Mary. But Martha got caught up. Look at what it says in verse 40. It says that Martha was distracted with much serving. That word distracted there, it means to be pulled away or dragged away, right? And she's coming and she's working in the kitchen and she's trying to prepare this meal, and she keeps getting little snidbits of Jesus. Man, oh, that's good. Wow, Jesus, man. Whew, you're a great teacher. But I got to cook this meal. What if Jesus doesn't eat? Then he won't have strength to go lead other people to get saved and go to heaven, and everything's riding on my shoulders. And Mary is thinking that Jesus needs this big meal. And Jesus is like, I don't need anybody. I'm self-sufficient. And so if you're taking notes tonight, I want to give you four things. Four things how to have a balanced life and not get out of balance. And number one is this, if you're taking notes, recognize good things can pull you away from God things. Recognize good things can pull you away from God things, or great things, or the better things. It's not like Mary or Martha was in the kitchen, you know, smoking beer and drinking alcohol, drinking cigarettes, you know? Not Mary wasn't shredding heroin in the blender and selling it in Bethany to the people on the streets. Mary wasn't doing that in the kitchen. Mary was serving God. She was trying to make this extravagant meal, but she got caught up in her busyness and forgot that, man, Jesus, what he really would want is just a nice little meal would be good, and to spend more time with him. Because Jesus was really, this was the start on his way to the cross. He's probably 6 months away from the cross right here, and he's going to the cross. He's on the way to go and die on the cross. And what Jesus really wanted was for Martha to come and sit and spend time. He didn't need this big elaborate meal, but she got caught up in it. She became Martha Stewart. She became Martha Stewart, and she's like, man, I got to have, you know, these watermelons carved in the shape of flamingos, and I got to have ice sculptures, and I got to get John the Baptist and say, Jesus, here is the meal, right? And she got all crazy with all that stuff. She was on Pinterest, you know, and getting a theme and going crazy, getting tablecloths in the same color, all that stuff. And she got caught up, and she was missing out on hearing Jesus. She was trying to listen, but she was overwhelmed with busyness. She was consumed. She was busy, but not blessed. How often it is that we can be present in a room, we can be present at home, we can be present at church, but we're not really there. You know what I'm saying? You're present, but you're absent. You're somewhere else. Your mind is somewhere else. You're caught up. We do this all the time in worship. Worship leaders up here singing and leading worship, and we're just thinking about, man, what am I going to eat after church? And we just totally miss Jesus. Well, you know, we're listening to the message, and instead of focusing on what is he saying right now, what is the Bible saying, we're just like, man, what is that guy wearing, you know? And we're just, you know, look at that person over there. They probably need Jesus. And all these thoughts are running through our minds instead of focusing on the Lord and hearing from him, and we miss out so much because we're not present. And maybe it's at home. You're sitting there, and your wife calls you, and you're watching TV. Hey, honey, can you do this for me? Huh? And you're just... hold on, I'm watching the game, right? And you're just not present. Or your kids come up to me, Dad, can you help me with something? But leave me alone, I'm busy. Go outside and play, right? And we miss out on their lives. Jesus is right there all the time, and we ignore him many times, and we miss out on him. And why did she miss out? Because her priorities were out of balance. Her priorities were out of balance. She had not put Jesus first. She wasn't doing bad things. She was doing good things. But she wasn't doing the better thing and the best thing. What are your priorities in your life? You wake up in the morning and you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta update my Facebook. I gotta think of a good hashtag, woke up with perfect hair. Woo! And my breath smells good, right? And you're like hashtagging stuff or whatever it is, you know. Maybe your priorities are just sleep and you're sleeping in. Maybe it's, I got to do my makeup. It's not perfect. And I got 2 hours to get, you know, and you're just going all this or the outfit perfectly matching. Or maybe your priorities are, man, I got to camp out at this movie. This movie's coming out. And for 3 days you've been camping out at, you know, Harry Potter 15 and dressing up like the thing. And you're all camping out forever. And then you ask the person, hey, so what did you read this week? Or what did you read today in your Bible? Well, I really haven't had time. I've been busy. See, everybody's busy. It's being busy about the right things. Jesus, when he was 12 years old, was in Jerusalem. And his parents had left. They couldn't find him. Where's Jesus at? Come on. Isn't he supposed to follow? He's supposed to be obedient to his parents. Come on. What's going on? And they go back and they find him. And he said, what? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? It's always about the Father's business. And here's the thing. Sometimes our priorities are, hey, well, we got to get the kids to sports. We got to do all this stuff. And those aren't bad things. Those are good things. Or we got to, you know, the game's on. The fight is on. They do make something called DVR, people, right? No, but I got to watch it live. And we miss out on the better things because we're so consumed with temporary things that are not going to change our lives. They're not going to fix things in our lives, right? And we seem to have no time for Jesus many times in our lives. Listen, if anything should change in your schedule and anything should flex, Jesus should be the last thing to change, and Jesus in your life, your time with the Lord, should be the last thing to change. He should be the first priority in our lives. It is so important to sit at Jesus' feet and hear from him, but obviously Martha got busy. She was caught up. Let me ask you this. If you only had 30 days left to live, they said to you, hey, you got some terminal disease, you only have 30 days left to live, would your priorities change? If you say yes, it means your priorities are not right now in your life. Maybe your priorities are changed in that I need to spend more time with the people I love. I need to tell the people I love that I love them. I need to reconcile relationships. I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to make things right. I need to start living for Jesus because this could be the last day that I'm on the face of the earth. I need to start storing up treasures. I need to get ready to meet my Maker. I need to know that I'm right with Jesus Christ and that I'm born again, because life is a vapor, and that's the thing. You're not guaranteed 30 days. You're not guaranteed tonight. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Life is a vapor. It's here for a moment and then gone the next. And so have you start putting priorities in perspective and putting Jesus first in our lives? Mary, she sat at Jesus' feet. She was placing Jesus first. And Matthew 4:4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the more important thing. And Mary had chosen that. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's what we do in American Christianity, in the world. Do not be conformed to the world. Do not let the world fit you in the mold. What does the world say? You need a new house, and you need a new car, and you need a new stuff, and you need to do all of this stuff, and you need to get here and get to this point and get to this and do everything. And we get consumed by busyness because we are being conformed to the world. Instead of being transformed, spending time with Jesus, getting clarity of what Jesus wants us to do and doing it and enjoying life. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard that. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You got worries in your life. You got stresses in your life, wondering how you're going to get through the mountain that is facing you or the situation that is overwhelming in your life. Just put Jesus first and seek him, and everything else will be added unto you. Jesus will provide for you. Jesus will take care of you. If you are his child, he'll work all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But if you don't love him and you have not been born again, he can't work anything for good in your life because you're still the God of your life. You have to give your life over to the Lord. So Jesus was first in her life, and Jesus says that he is a jealous God. Not that he's insecure, not that he's power tripping and say, you must serve me because I am God. No, because he's a jealous God, just like I'm a jealous husband. If some of you came up to me today and said, hey, can I take your wife on a date? No. And if you do, let's find out what happens, right? Wouldn't be good. Just like if I asked your wife out on a date, it would not be good for me. I would fear my life and run. And so God is a jealous God, not because he's trying to, you know, control us and all this stuff, but because he knows that his way leads to the abundant life. But if we have something else that we make a God in our lives, or we put before God that becomes an idol, it leads to stealing and killing and destroying your life. What do you worship with your life? What is the God of your life? Everybody worships something, whether it be money, whether it be new things, whether it be a relationship or a person. Everybody worships something. What are you worshiping in your life? What is distracting you from putting Jesus first? Do you come and worship Jesus and sing and you praise him, and then you walk out the doors and you leave him here? And you're like, I'm going to go live my life here. Here I go. Putting Jesus first is complete surrender to him. It's not 99%. It's 100%. 99% is short 100%. What is that 1% that's keeping you from putting Jesus first, where he is supposed to be, exalted to the highest place in your heart, in your mind, in your home? Everywhere that you go is Jesus number one in your life. And if you're not putting Jesus first, you won't live for eternal things. You'll live for temporary things. You'll live for things that are faded away. What will you have to show at the end of your life if you live for things just busy about work? You won't bear any fruit. You won't store up treasures in the kingdom of God. Unless you live for eternal things by putting Jesus first, then it will be lasting. At the end of your life, you can go, man, thank you, Jesus. And he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, now become faithful over much. But it's by putting Jesus first. You ever watch those people walking their dogs? And you ask yourself, are they walking the dog, or is the dog walking them, right? They're dragging behind. And are you running your life, or is life running you? Is God running your life? Or really, are you letting life run you. And so are you missing Jesus, ignoring him because you're distracted and pulled away because you're busy doing things? And that doesn't mean you have to be a non-Christian to be busy about doing stuff and being distracted. Martha loved Jesus, right? But she was distracted with all this stuff. And she was serving. She was trying to do it for Jesus. You can be preaching a message. You can be playing worship. You can be serving in a children's ministry. You can be serving missions, going to Mexico. But you're just busy about it without being filled up and putting Jesus first in your life. When Jesus is first, others will see Jesus. Think about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't bow down and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, right? They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And what did Nebuchadnezzar say? Hey, didn't we throw three men in there? But there's a fourth in there. And the fourth looks like the Son of God. And they didn't want to come out because they were hanging with Jesus, right? And it says Nebuchadnezzar had to call them out. Come out of the fire! They came out of the fire. There wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. Not a hair was singed on them. The only thing that was burnt was the ropes that were binding them together. And that's what happens when you put Jesus first in your life and you stand for Jesus and don't compromise. You become free in Jesus. You become alive in Jesus. And you have everything that you need in the Lord. And so everybody in that nation saw the power of God because they stood for Jesus and they put him first. And the same will happen in your life. Number two, if you're taking notes, how do you have a balanced life? Don't forget your purpose. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Martha just put Jesus on blast. She literally just rebuked the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Creator, right? Because she forgot her purpose. She forgot why she was serving and who she was serving as she was making this meal. And she just kept getting more angry, like, Mary, right? Why aren't you helping me? I'm doing this for the Lord. Our purpose is to know God and make him known, to love God and love others. But when your priorities get off, your attitude gets off. It's a good test. When your attitude is off, you can search your heart and go, something's not right. Because if my priorities were right, my attitude would be right, because I would be doing all things as unto the Lord. But I'm not. And her attitude was wrong. She was getting mad. You could just imagine her simmering and the pots and pans banging together, and she went from Martha Stewart to Gordon Ramsay. It turned into Hell's Kitchen, and she came, and just imagine this. She stomps in there, right, and charges in there, and Jesus is teaching a Bible, Jesus is teaching the word, right? Jesus is teaching his disciples, and she's like, interrupts the whole thing. Jesus, do you not care? Tell my sister to get off her lazy butt and help me. She thought what she was doing was more important than what Jesus was doing. And we do this. We boss Jesus around, do we not? When things aren't going our way, we get caught up in busyness, we get consumed, we get frustrated with it all, and we start bossing Jesus around. Jesus, fix this. Come on, I'm trying to serve you. Change this, Lord. Make it rain money. Come on. Lord, I'm ready to receive. You know, pour out the blessings, open up the windows of heaven, all this stuff. And we feel so alone when Jesus doesn't do what we want. And the reason we feel alone is because Jesus isn't on the same pathway that we're on. Martha was feeling alone. Do you not care, Lord? And the reason she's feeling alone is because Jesus is like, you left me a long time ago. I'm in the living room. Where are you at? What are you doing? And the reason Jesus doesn't come to change things is because it's not God's plan. Jesus will always do what's best for you and what brings him the most glory. And what was best for Martha was to stop doing what she was doing and to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. We see it with Moses leading the children of Israel. And God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And he led them around the Philistines because you know they would turn back. And he's leading them on this roundabout way. And then he leads them right to a cul-de-sac to the Red Sea. They're trapped. Well, this is great, God. And they start complaining. Pharaoh and the soldiers are coming, breathing down their neck. We're going to die. What are we going to do? And that's when God comes through. Because God brings us to the end of ourselves where we have no more strength and no more power to change things on our own. And then he says, hey, watch me and what I do. Moses, lift your rod over the water. And he parted the seas. Because without trials and without storms in our life, there is no opportunity for God to show his power. And Martha was getting consumed with that. But I think it's funny that she says, Lord, don't you care? The word Lord means master, owner, controller. And obviously, this wasn't Jesus took the wheel. This was Martha took the wheel back, right? She took control, and she was trying to control Jesus and force Mary to serve her way. And Martha thought that what she was doing was more important, and everyone should do it. Don't we do that in our lives? We tend to push our calling on people. We tend to think, well, this is what God's called me to do, and it's more important than what you're doing. We do it in children's ministry. You should serve in children. Not that we do this here, but people do this in general. Children's ministry, I'm serving in children's ministry. I'm loving these kids. Where are all the other parents? They don't care about their kids. Good thing I'm here to step up and be little Jesus to them, you know, and train them in the ways of the Lord, because their parents ain't doing them. Where are they at, you know? And we can start getting griping and bitter and all that kind of stuff because we haven't been filled with God's love. In youth ministry, right? Hey, why? This is the next generation. The church is only one generation away from being, you know, out of commission. Why aren't you serving here? Why aren't you serving in the youth? Why aren't you doing this? The point is that we don't want people to serve just where there's a need. We're the body of Christ, and everybody should do what they're called to do. We shouldn't all push our calling on one another. Martha is here going like, why aren't you, Mary, get in here. No, because that's not what God called her to do, to sit at his feet right then. And we tend to push our calling on one another. And just imagine this. What if Matt, who was awesome worship tonight, and he was like, everybody needs to be singing up here. We wouldn't want that. Because we make joyful noises, but, you know, if everybody was singing up here, we'd be like, I'm leaving. This is crazy, right? There's some bad noises coming here. We don't want everybody serving in youth ministry unless God's called them to it. I remember being at a youth camp one time, and I seen all these people start running, these counselors running everywhere, and I'm like, what is going on? They're like, one of the volunteers is choking a teenager, right? And I'm like, yep, not made for youth ministry, right? You shouldn't do things unless you're called to them. And Mary's trying to get her to do something that she's not. But here's this point, is she forgot her purpose, why she was doing it. Why she was serving the Lord. Her service to the Lord, Martha's service to the Lord, was a complete waste in heaven because she wasn't doing it with the right heart. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 that everything that we do will be tried by fire by the Lord, whether it's wood, hay, or stubble, or it's gold, silver, precious stones. And if we don't do it with the right heart, it's just going to be burned up in heaven. We'll still have our salvation, but we're not going to have anything to show for it. God's not going to reward us for those things because we didn't do it with the right heart. And she was missing out on all of that because she wasn't doing it as unto the Lord. Here's a quote for you. If serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then something is terribly wrong with our service. Sometimes we serve Christ, but we have just a horrible attitude about it. These kids, I can't believe it. Why don't their parents train them right? You know, bring me for all the problems. And we get all mad and crazy and out of, and it's, we're not serving with the right heart and the right attitude, and we're missing out on that. And if serving Christ doesn't make us better people, then something is terribly wrong, not only with our service, but something is terribly wrong with our relationship with Jesus. We have to be filled with his love. There is nothing good in us to give unless we have God in us, unless we fill up with God in us. I'll never forget studying at my house, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm studying for a message, and I'm stressing out because it's not coming through, and some reason God called me to ministry, probably because he can speak through donkeys, and he's like, here, Brian, you do this. You know, and he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And I'm reading my Bible, and I'm getting frustrated because I can't figure this message out and all that stuff. And my son Caleb comes up to me, and he's like, tap me on the shoulder, and I'm like, what? What do you want? He's like 4 years old at the time. Daddy, I just want to say I love you all day. Like, I'm such a jerk. Caleb just kicked me in the head right now. Like, I'm so sorry. I had let my priorities get off. Yes, studying the Bible is important. But sometimes we read this book so much, we forget to do what it says. We memorize scriptures and have it all in our heart, but we forget to do what it says and apply it to our lives. How did Jesus walk on this face of the earth? 1 John 2:6 says, if we say we abide in him, we ought also to walk as he walked. How did Jesus walk? With a limp? Yo, like a cholo? No. Jesus walked with purpose. Jesus knew his mission. He knew why he was sent. He knew why he came to the world. He was the way, the truth, and the life. He knew what he was doing. Jesus was present every person he talked to. He was never too busy for anybody. Man, how often you're just talking to someone. We see it all the time. And they're talking to you. They're pouring out your heart. And you're just like, oh, sorry, let me check my phone. And you're not even in the conversation. You're not even present half the time. Sometimes I do this to people. It's so bad. I'm like, Lord, help me to be present. We get distracted. Jesus was always present, and he walked as the light of the world. We are the light of the world, the Bible says. He walked in the Spirit. He walked in wisdom, right? And so we need to walk as Jesus did. Don't forget your purpose. Number three, how do you live a life of balance? Don't do things on your own strength because it will wear you out. Look at verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Now we know Jesus isn't angry here because Jesus loved Martha. He's not like, Martha, Martha, come on. What are you doing? I'm teaching a Bible study, Martha. Can't you see? I am the Savior. I am the Word, Jesus. No, he had love for her. Why? Because he had been filled up so much with the love of Christ that he could pour out, obviously. He spent time with the Father praying, and he didn't overreact. He didn't freak out, but he said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. That word worry, it means to disturb or be anxious. Troubled means disturbed, excuse me. And so she was just anxious about all this stuff. She's busy, she's consumed, and she's getting frustrated. And the point is, if you're serving without getting filled up with the Spirit, without getting filled up with the Word, it leads to misery. It leads to frustration. It leads to robbing you of your joy. You need to be filled up. So then you can really give out. We are empty, leaky vessels. We'll do marriage counseling here and parent and youth counseling and all of that. And they'll come in and be like, well, if she would do this, then it would be great. Well, if he would do this part, then, you know, everything would be fine. And man, my child, they just don't. And our first question, the first question I try to ask is, hey, so how's your devotions going? Oh, well, we don't really have time for that. That stopped a long time ago. Why don't you start reading your Bible this week every day, read it together, and then come back next week. I'll see you next week. Simple, but profound. We, pastors, are flawed human beings just like everybody else. We're sinners just like everybody else. We do not have the answers except for what the Bible gives, and we only want to give the Bible's answers, and we're not the ones that fix anything. It is God that is the problem solver. It is God that is the healer. It is God's word that changes lives. It is not our words. It is God's word that does that. And so here's the problem with Mary or Martha is that she took on more than Jesus asked her to. Jesus never asked her to cook this elaborate meal. She decided to take it on for herself. She took it into her mind. Well, Jesus needs all this stuff, and he needs this great, amazing thing, you know, all these decorations and dancing monkeys, you know, and tigers, white tigers, you know, Siegfried and Roy were there. And so she just took on more than she asked, and that's Satan's big trick in our lives, to consume us with busyness, to stretch us so thin in ministry, in life, to stretch us so thin that we really don't accomplish anything. I heard of a church, and the pastor's like bragging, we have 187 ministries. Didn't know if that meant to pray for him or what. But how can you do anything with that? What we need as Christians is laser focus to spend time with God, to hear from him, what have you called me to do, and do it. In and out is a gift from the Lord. Let's just say that. But in and out, they do burgers really well. You know why? Because they only do three things. They do burgers, fries, and drinks. I love Yellow Basket, but they're not Yellow Basket. They don't do burritos and waffles and, you know, pizza on the side. And would you like mashed potatoes with that? You know what? They don't do all that stuff. They have laser focus on what they need and what they do well. Sometimes in the Christian life, we're serving everywhere. We're doing everything instead of doing what God's called us to do and do it well. Don't stretch yourself so thin. Don't get pulled apart for all of those things. And in that, you're going to have to learn to say no to things, which I have a really hard time in my life. I was a people pleaser for a long time. And I, yes, I'll do it. Yeah, you want me to teach? Yeah, I'm teaching 18 times a week. You know, like, what? Whoa. It's crazy sometimes. You got to be able to say no. What does God call me to do? I need to hear from the Lord and do it. And maybe you're just exhausted because you do that to yourself. And Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, Jesus said, all you who are all you labor and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and before it is light and is easy. Come to me. Not come to Facebook and pull the audience. Not come to Oprah or Dr. Phil. Not come to all these different things, positive thinking seminar. Come to Jesus. He's the one that will give you rest. He's the one that you're looking for. And so what has God called you to do, and are you doing it well? Number four, and lastly, how do you have the balanced life? Choose the one thing that keeps everything balanced. Look at verse 42. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So one thing is needed. Our service should always come out of sitting at Jesus' feet. Sometimes we just, people, there's churches, and they just serve, but they haven't sat at Jesus' feet. They're not filled up. They have nothing to pour out. They have nothing good to give. And we're just filling in because we're meeting a need. And filling in, but we don't need just bodies to just fill in because you're not serving with passion. You're not serving with the love. You're just going through the motions. And Jesus never intended it to be that way. Serving God is not a replacement of spending time with God. And sometimes that's what we do. We just serve, and do all this stuff. But we haven't spent time with the Lord and heard from Him and filled up with Him. And out of that comes just a love for God and for others and whatever we're doing. Everything you need is in that one thing in Jesus. Everything you need is in Jesus. Everything you're looking for is Mary found that better thing. And it's in Jesus. The joy you're looking for in your life. You're here tonight and you're trying to find joy through material things, through possessions, through the career, getting it all. It doesn't work. You look at people in Hollywood, they're miserable. They got everything they want. Professional athletes, they got more money than they know what to do with, and it's still not enough. You want satisfaction, you want fulfillment, you want peace in your heart. It doesn't come through a drug, it doesn't come through numbing the pain or all that stuff. You want healing from what's been done to you. You're overwhelmed. It only comes through Jesus Christ that fulfills you and satisfies you and is the peace giver and the giver of life. He's the one that you need. John 15, 5, Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. She knew this, that if Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing. And Mary knew that I'm not going to make it very far without the words of Jesus, without being filled with his love. Let me just ask you something. When's the last time you truly abided in Christ? To abide means to make him your home, to take up residence. It's like a branch plugged in, connected to the vine. When's the last time you personally heard from Jesus by you spending time with the Lord and he spoke to you from his word? This is just the icing on the cake. It's church and a pastor preaching. It's your personal relationship, and God wants to speak to you, and he wants to talk to you, but are you too busy for Jesus? He's always there. He's always with you. Will you spend time with him? 1 Timothy 4, 6, take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine, the teaching of the word, and man, you'll see fruit come out of your life. You'll start bearing fruit. Abide in the vine. In Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you don't fill up with God, you'll end up on a wrong path and you'll go, how did I get here? This is the directions, basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. We got to get filled up with this. It's like the GPS to your life. The youth in this church know that I'm not the best at following Siri or maps or any of that stuff. And we go to summer camp and sometimes we pass by the place and we're like, aren't we supposed to be in California? Why are we going to Nevada right now? Like, what's going on? I got off course because I didn't pay attention to the instructions of where we're supposed to be going. But here's what happens. Pastors, evangelists, you can be a homeless ministry, your family ministry, whatever. You end up giving yourself so much to your calling or what God's called you to, and you become so focused on that that you have no time to read the word for yourself and to hear from God. And what happens is you lose the vision and you lose focus and you lose the passion and your life ends up going to some pathway you never intended it. Everything becomes about you and becomes about what you have done instead of becoming about the Lord. Because we are fleshly beings and our hearts are desperately wicked. Who could even know them? So if I don't get into this, this is out of this world. This is God's divine word and I need to fill up on this. Because I'm not going to go in the right pathway if I don't have God's word. And everything I do needs to be checked with this. And I need to get direction from this. And I need to pray and seek the Lord. Do you know what happens when pastors just stop reading the Bible and they just start preaching messages? Or I read some commentaries or whatever. Do you know that only 10% of pastors retire? 10%. 90% quit. They resign or they self-sabotage. And it's because they drift away from the word of God. They drifted away from their first love. They haven't spent time with the Lord. Everything becomes about you instead. Katy Perry, you might know her as a singer. She used to sing worship in a church. But everything became about her. And she forgot about the word of God and forgot why she had that gift and that ability in the first place, which was to glorify God. Choose the one thing. And so here's the thing. What does it say? The one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. Every day you have a choice to choose, to get up, to spend quiet time with the Lord, but you got to clean the noise out of your life. From the day we wake up, our phone's going, like emails cranking in, text messages, all this stuff, just stuff. We turn the TV on, let's watch, you know, the Today Show. And there's just noise all through the day. Jesus speaks in a still, small voice. Do you know in Israel, I don't know if they do it once a month or they do it like every day or every week, but in Israel they have a huge horn that goes off. And it's like one of those we're about to get ready to get bombed horned, like really loud. And the freeways stop, everybody stops where they're at. And the cars on the freeway stop. And everybody gets out of their car and stands there and has a moment of silence for those that were in the Holocaust, the Jews that were killed in the Holocaust, to remember that. Wow, I think we need a big horn in America that says, stop what you're doing. Spend some quiet time with the Lord. Hear from him. We are freaking out sometimes or so stressed out or so overwhelmed by our schedules and the stress and all that stuff. And if we would just stop and take a moment to listen to the Lord, he would direct our path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, which is the problem. Right? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. We need to spend time with Jesus cleaning out the noise. How are we supposed to know how to help anybody else out if we don't first fill up? I never forget, we were at this camp, and I'm sitting there with a bunch of high school students, and this kid, Stephen, comes walking up. And he's like, Pastor Ryan, I don't feel so good. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, okay, Stephen, cool. You know, come sit over here. I'll check you out. And all of a sudden, he just passes out. Boom! And he doesn't pass out backwards. He just lands on his face. Right? And we're like, guess he doesn't feel good. And we run over there and we flip him over. And one of my students, who I dearly love, his name's Billy, and he runs over there. He's like, watch out, watch out. I know CPR. And he starts doing CPR on Stephen, like jumping on his chest. And I should have let him go a little longer to see if he would have done mouth to mouth. And I'm sure Stephen would have resurrected from the dead right at that moment. But I had to push him off. I'm like, Billy, he's not dead. He just passed out. I'm like, how did you learn CPR? Well, I saw it on TV, you know. The point is, if you don't go to a class and learn how to do it, you won't be able to help other people survive in CPR. You will kill them with CPR because you watch it on TV, right? Like, what about Bob jumping on his chest, you know, or whatever's going on? And the point is, if you don't fill up with the Word of God and learn from this first, you're not going to be able to help other people by it. It's just like on an airplane when the captain says, hey, if there's a change in the pressure in the cabin, the mask will fall down. Put the oxygen mask on first on yourself, then help the person next to you. Because you're going to be sucking air trying to help the person then pass out and die because you can't breathe. You got to get oxygen for your soul first, and then you can help out other people who are all around you with God's love. But look at what he says at the end here. And that good part which will not be taken away from her. So Mary chose this good part. Martha wanted to choose that, but she was caught up, pulled away with busyness. But it won't be taken away from her. The word of God is eternal. It will not return void. It will last. It's never changing. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says that all scripture inspired by God for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is what we need in our lives. You're overwhelmed. Get to Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Passionately pursue Him. Seek Him with all your heart, and you will find Him, it says in Jeremiah. You got to seek with all your heart. You got to listen. And then you go and do. And so Mary's choice was good in sickness, in health, in youth, in age, in adversity, in prosperity, in storms, in life, in death, in time, and eternity. Mary's choice to sit at Jesus' feet and hear from Him is what she needed in every area of her life, and it's what we need too. But here's the thing. Just because she was sitting at her feet, sitting at Jesus' feet, doesn't mean it's an excuse not to do anything for the Lord. Like a lot of Christians, they sit and they soak up messages, messages, and messages. This is American Christianity. We are an oversaturated community, right? Oversaturated world of just more Bible teaching and resources than ever before. And we soak all this stuff in. But do we do anything with it? See, the point of this story is not that Martha was this bad person and Mary was the greater person. Mary just chose the better thing because she wasn't distracted with much serving. She wasn't busy and consumed by busyness. The point is that we should sit at Jesus' feet like Mary so that we can serve like Martha. Martha wasn't just giving her leftover service to God. Well, if I have time, then I'll serve the Lord. No, she wasn't giving her leftover. She was giving her very best. But that happens through spending time with Him. I think this is interesting because right before this story is what? The story of the Good Samaritan. I don't think it's an accident. And you have this priest, right? This Jewish priest, and this man had been beaten up, left for naked on the side of the road, just beaten up, everything taken. And this priest comes and he sees him and he looks at him and he walks by on the other side. And then you got a temple assistant that sees him, a guy that works in the church. Oh, he looks bad. This could be a trick. I don't know, man. He's probably a gangster. And I'm going to walk around. And so he just walks far away from him on the other side. And then you see this Samaritan come up who would have been an enemy of a Jew. They hated each other. And the Samaritan had the love of Jesus, filled up with Jesus enough to go and pick him up, bandage up his wounds, put him on his donkey, take him to an inn and pay the innkeeper, however long he needs to stay here, pay for that person. How do you think that guy reacted when he woke up and the innkeeper told him, hey, a Samaritan brought you here and did all that stuff? I changed his whole perspective. Wow, he loved me enough to do that? He's probably mad at first and frustrated. Why didn't any of my people help me out? Hey, which one of those people are you? Do you just read the Bible and hear the Bible, but you don't apply it to your life? The Bible says be doers of the word and not just hearers. The Bible says faith without works is completely dead. And so She gave her very best. But one thing is needed to seek power from Jesus, then do what he has called you to do. And I like this story because Martha, she didn't stop here. She learned from this. It says in John chapter 12 that Martha cooked another big meal. She made another meal, and there's no story of her complaining about things, correcting Jesus. She just did it unto the Lord. And Martha made one of the two greatest statements in the Bible of the confessions of Christ. Peter made the other one, right? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Martha made this confession of Jesus. She said in John 11, 27, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Martha knew who Jesus was. She learned from her mistakes. Will we learn from being consumed and put the most important things, the top priorities, in our life? And so there's three types of Christians here in this story. You can be Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and served out of that. You can be Martha, who was busy, served God without sitting at Jesus' feet, became miserable and frustrated and robbed of her joy. Or you can be neither. You're not even in the home with Jesus. You're just pursuing your own pursuits, busy about life, and Jesus isn't even on the radar. And you're missing out on what God has for you in your life and the great plans that he wants to do in your life. Let me end with this. Look at verse 38. It says, he entered the village, Jesus entered the village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Maybe you're here tonight, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never received Jesus. You've never been born again. You've never been forgiven of your sins. Jesus does not, he's not SEAL Team 7. He doesn't bust down the door and force himself on you and say, hey, you're going to receive me right now. You have to welcome him in. Jesus did not go in anybody's home without being welcomed in. And that's what the Bible says in Revelation 3, that he knocks on the door of your heart. There's only a doorknob on the side, inside of the door of your heart, and only you can open that door and welcome him in. And if you open the door unto him, he will come in and have fellowship with him, with you. He will forgive you of all your sins. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's a free gift of God. And you say, well, how do I get to heaven? Do I be like Martha and do a bunch of good things? And maybe if my good things outweigh the bad things? Well, that's what a lot of people try to do. They try to do good works. But good works can't get you to heaven. Going to church can't get you to heaven. Being smart enough or having a degree can't get you to heaven. Getting enough money, none of that will get you to heaven. The only way is to become born again. And Jesus said, if you're not born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The only way is by Romans 10:9 that says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You can be forgiven today of all your sins. You can go to heaven, and you don't have to be consumed by the fires of hell at the end of life, because when you die, you will either go to heaven or hell. There's no gray area. Your sin condemns you to hell, but you don't have to go to hell. You can be forgiven by Jesus. You can find all you need and all you're looking for, but it's by coming to the feet of Jesus and receiving him and humbly saying, I need you, Jesus. I can't be forgiven without you. I can't live life without you. Let's pray.